Dr. Morey. Good morning, Granddaddy.
Good morning. I really want to say that we pray the Lord's richest blessing upon mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers. We are, all of us, are so indebted that it's impossible to say how much. Those of you who have been here would have picked up a few things about one who is called, for most people, John the Baptist. Now, I'm going to shock some of you this morning. I hope you can take it and think about it and understand it. And that is, actually, that's a false name. That is not the name that's used in the passage. And the reason for baptism, he wasn't John the Baptist, he was John the Baptizer. And he was here for a specific purpose. And it's very important that this is clarified in the opening chapters of John's Gospel. He's asked, who is he? Well, he is not the Messiah. He makes that very clear. He's here to proclaim who the Messiah is. That's why he was sent. And of course, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, which was unusual because people were not filled with the Holy Spirit until after Jesus had come and was the sacrifice on Calvary's cross. And we were reconciled to our Heavenly Father. And then after that, there followed the day of Pentecost. They didn't know when Pentecost was going. They knew when Pentecost was going to happen, but they didn't know that this was an exceptional one. And it was on Pentecost, of course, that people could be baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit. That means put in and not taken out. That's what the word really means. So he didn't claim the name that he was John the Baptist. That was given to him at the time of the Reformation. There was a whole host of people who thought that they needed to be re-baptized, and they were called the Baptists. And John was taken as their some kind of patron saint. But that's not why he came. There's a complete difference between being baptized by John the Baptist. It's not mentioned again. Then being baptized as a member of the body of Christ. The gospel ends with go into all the world and proclaim to the nations. Now the nations is a word ethnoi, which means ethnic groups. And we would be better off if we translated it. Proclaim to people groups, all people groups, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Christ. And then it said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there was nothing comparable to that with so-called John the Baptist. Therefore, when I teach, I like to point out that he was one who baptized. He baptized something which was radical to Jewish people because Jewish people didn't think they needed to be baptized. They believed that only pagans who became Jewish should be baptized, men and women. The pagans, they were very evangelical. They went out and proclaimed the Jewish gospel to the pagan people in the Roman Empire. And those who responded were the Gentiles who sat in the synagogues in the balcony. Most of the women became Jewish. They were not only baptized, but they accepted Judaism. Their husbands did not. They were willing to be baptized, but they were not willing to be circumcised. So most of the men did not become followers of Judaism as such, although they would go and listen in the balcony to the proclamation that there was one God and that there were the commandments to obey. Their morality was to be on a different level. Now, we need to understand that as we begin, because John said, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not a prophet. I'm here to, as a voice in the wilderness to proclaim that the Messiah has come. And John identifies him. And he identifies him, first of all, as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And what is that a reference to? Well, every Jewish sacrifice was one that offered a lamb that was spotless, that was unmarred, that was in effect a representative of sinlessness. So the Messiah was the Lamb of God supreme, and it reminded all the Jewish people of Passover. Every family was instructed to gather to sacrifice a spotless lamb, and that the penalty of death would pass over, and it did. Now, this is the meaning of Passover, and it was a major issue in Judaism. But Jesus is more than that. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's the first thing that's proclaimed. And John, the baptizer, pointed to him. John had a following. There were people who thought that he was the Messiah, and many of them continued falsely to do so. So the opening of John's gospel proclaims very clearly, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not a prophet. I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness, and I'm pointing to one who is here in our midst, and he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Even more than that, he used almost every technical term to describe the mission of Jesus. And the final one was, I baptize in water. He is the one who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Now, they didn't completely understand that. They didn't even know it was going to take place on Pentecost. God chose Pentecost, the Jewish celebration, to pour out his Spirit. The proclamation of the gospel by Peter, for example, followed by the fact that they were not just baptized in water. They were baptized immersed in the Holy Spirit. They were put in and they weren't taken out. Now, of course, that raises a question. How many of us here have not only accepted Jesus because he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, but how many of us have experienced the baptism that Jesus alone could bring to us? I baptize not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the point of the opening verses. And it was from among John's disciples that Jesus' first disciples came. They were, first of all, followers of John. But when John pointed to Jesus in the crowd, some of them followed him. And this is where not all, but most of the 12 come from. Look at verse 35. The next day, John, standing with two of his disciples, he had two disciples. He had more than that. He looked at Jesus and as Jesus walked by and said, Behold the Lamb of God. He had formerly said, Who takes away the sin of the world? Two of his disciples who heard this followed. Well, now, actually, followed whom? I would have added the word, they followed Jesus. They were no longer going to follow John. And Jesus turned and saw them and said, What are you seeking? Now, this is good for personal evangelism. How many of you ever said to anyone who was visiting the church, What are you seeking? And they said, Rabbi. Now, notice, such terms had to be defined. They were familiar to Jewish or Semitic peoples, but the Gospel of John was written in Greek. It was written for all members of the church, Jewish and Gentile, and it means teacher. Where are you staying? Now, are you willing to ask Jesus that question? They wanted to be with Jesus, and Jesus' answer was, Come and see. I think that's a tremendous invitation. Are you saying to any seeker, have you dared to say, come and see? In other words, you want to know what's happening here? come and see. I had the privilege at one time of being the pastor of a church, and I greeted people at the door at the end of the service. And people began to say to me, something is happening here. How many times have you thought in this worshiping congregation, something is happening here? Well, come and see. See where Jesus is staying. So they came. They found out where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him. They wanted to learn more about Jesus. It wasn't like, oh, he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Well, that's good, but what does that mean? Oh, he's the one that doesn't baptize in water. He baptizes in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, you need to stay with him. You need to learn of him. And then notice in verse 43, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He was in Jerusalem. And then he said, follow me. Well, how many of you are interested in where Jesus is staying and are willing to spend some time with him? How many of you have answered the question, follow me and go with Jesus and learn of him? And then Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Well, now that's a very strange statement. If there is no deceit in him, what does it mean? It means he's honest. He's frank. He wants to know the truth. He didn't just accept everything he heard. He investigated. And Nathanael was aghast. How did Jesus know him at all? Well, Jesus knew what was in man. And this is a part of slowly revealing himself to his disciples. Before Philip called you, I saw you under a fig tree. Now, what were they doing? It was a habit of thoughtful Jewish people to read the scriptures out. They all couldn't read it, but some of them could. And they read it under a fig tree. I have an interesting thing about, for years I grew up in this country hating figs. I did not like fig Newtons. I still don't. Now, you may love them. I'm not comparing that. But I'll tell you something. I went to Israel, and I decided, well, I'm going to try a fig. I love them. There was a tremendous difference for me between the figs that were being produced in Israel and the kind of figs that we are presented with here. In any case, the whole point of this is that Jesus knew what was going on inside Philip, inside Nathanael, inside Andrew, inside Peter. Truly I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. There's another term. But what about these angels ascending and descending? That was the experience of Jacob. Once he had that experience. He was in a real personal communion with the God who spoke to him. But that was it. One experience. What Jesus is saying is that wherever I am present, this is an experience over and over and over again. If you're with Jesus, and you can be, you can follow him. You can see where he's staying and stay with him. You can learn of him. And at every moment, there is a revelation of the whole nature of God. Jesus said he was the Son of Man. That's a very strange term. It comes from the prophets. And what it meant was that he was the representative of mankind. He was sinless. He was the only one who was sinless or is sinless. And when he finished his ministry, he was not only that, he was Lord of Lords. He was King of Kings. He was the victor. He's the one whose kingdom is in the process of coming in you and me, where his will is to be done, here on earth as in heaven. Now, is that taking place? What's going on here? Come and see. But come to Jesus, because Jesus is God's word to you. Jesus is the representative man who is what God intends each and every individual to be, sinless. And the indwelling Holy Spirit is in the process of reshaping us into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we were created for. This is what we will be when we step into heaven. But the point right now is, where are you on this spiritual journey? You are here in a church. By the way, we only have the word church. I've reminded some of you before that the German language is interesting here. There's the word Kirche, which means a church building. And that's what we usually mean. Or we mean some kind of organization. But when they really wanted to find a church in the German language, they used the word Gemeinde. Do you know what the word Gemeinde means? Some of you do. It means fellowship. It means community. It means partnership. It means that we're members one of another. It means communion. We are in communion with the Lord God in Jesus. We are in communion with each other. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I admit that some of us have really some strange brothers and sisters. But we need to understand this. We are a part of a fellowship. We love each other that transcends those differences. We are members of the body of Christ. And when we come to the Lord's table, it is not what we do. It is what God does in us. When you were baptized, I don't know how you were baptized, but it is not what you did. It's what God did when you were baptized. Has that happened to you? It's not what I do, it's what he does. That's what the scripture emphasizes. And I'm so thankful that when we're baptized, it is something that God does in us. That we come to the Lord's table, we are members of a fellowship. We participate by symbolically taking the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, accepting that sacrifice, and it transforms us inside out. Has that happened to you? Come and see. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, if we come, we will see. We will understand what we've never understood before. You will pour your Holy Spirit into us, and that will illumine our understanding, among other, many other blessings. It will strengthen us to be a faithful disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, truly following him. And we thank you in his precious name. Amen.